What I'm about to tell you is something that not many people around me know. Hi, I'm Jessie, and I would like to tell you the story of my first surgery. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember being 10 or 11. I had a group of friends who enjoyed being outside. Unlike most other children, we were focused on playing outside rather than on our phones or computers. We would play every kind of game we knew and have lots of fun. Our parents knew each other, and they would get along well. One day, I remember my father waking me up and telling me that we were going on a vacation. He also said that it was more than a regular family vacation, as my friends and their families would be there. I was very excited about it. We had breakfast, packed our stuff, and left the house. We got into our car and hit the road. After a couple of hours, we arrived at a place inside a forest. When we came there, I saw a huge summer house, but what made me happy was seeing my friends' and family's cars parked outside the house. Without hesitation, I rushed inside the house and saw my friends and their family sitting and playing tabletop games together. My friends, Noah, Frank, and Olivia, were happy to see me. We played games. There was laughter and there was happiness. None of us would know what was about to happen. If I remember correctly, on the second day we were there, my friends and I decided to play hide and seek. We played it inside the house, but our parents told us we were making too much noise and that we should be playing outside. I was frustrated at the time, but now that I think about it, I can understand their need to spend a relaxing day inside the house. Eventually, my friends and I ran outside, intending to continue our hide and seek game. When we got out, we noticed that the area around the house did not have many places to hide. So, very foolishly, we decided to continue our game inside the forest. We walked for at least 15 minutes and arrived at a part of the forest that was good enough for us to find hiding places. Being tired of walking, we sat on the soil and started to rest a little. While resting, Frank told us a story. It was about a man that was implausibly tall and had no face. I can still remember how I imagined the creature as Frank described him. A very tall humanoid creature with no face and tentacles coming out of his back. I did not know what Slender Man was, so I remember being extremely frightened by Frank's story. Noah seemed scared by the story, but when I looked at Olivia, I did not see any reaction coming from her. I figured that she was not frightened by the story, and a sense of admiration filled my heart. After Frank's story, we stopped telling scary stories to each other and started making jokes. We laughed so hard that the tension and fear me and Noah were feeling were gone. After a couple of minutes of laughing and chatting, we decided to play hide-and-seek again. As Frank closed his eyes and started to count, we ran away and tried to find a place to hide. I saw Noah hide inside a bush, but I could not see where Olivia went. I ran and found a tree. Being an ambitious person, I decided to not hide behind the tree, but on top of it. I climbed quickly and hid behind the branches of the tree. Where I was hiding was keeping me out of Frank's sight, but I was also incapable of seeing anything because of the branches and leaves. Even though I could not see him, I could hear him. Frank stopped counting and started to walk stealthily. A couple of minutes passed, and I heard the rustling sounds coming from a bush and loud screaming. The screaming was silenced rather quickly. I thought that Frank had found Noah, and that scared him. Therefore, he screamed. I continued to wait for almost 10 minutes until I decided to check what was happening. I pushed some of the branches and could see the bush that Noah was hiding before. I could not see Frank or Olivia around. Upon focusing on the bush, I noticed something that gave me goosebumps. Around the bushes, there was red liquid. Is it blood? I whispered to myself as I continued to observe. I saw Frank approaching near the bush. He did not seem to notice the blood around the bush, or did he seem to care about it. He started to speak with someone. I could not hear what the other person was saying, as they were whispering, but I could hear Frank's voice. "Did you find the girl?" he asked. I heard the voice reply to him. Frank seemed to be annoyed. She cannot be far away. We will find her. I did not know who he was talking to, or who was the girl they were talking about. Were they talking about Olivia or me? I decided to continue hiding as I realized something shady was going on. Frank was acting strange, twitching and smiling like an insane person. At that moment, I believed the other voice asked him a question, and Frank showed what was inside the bush. Inside the bush lay the corpse of a child. The child's head was smashed and pieces of his brain were scattered around. When I looked at the corpse clothes, I noticed that it was Noah. Seeing this, I felt sick, but I tried my best to stay quiet. I know there must be two sacrifices, and I killed mine. It is your turn to kill yours, said Frank frustratedly. After witnessing the horrifying conversation Frank and the other person had, I was shocked. My survival instincts kicked in, and I started to plan my escape. I decided to wait until I could not see or hear Frank, and then silently climb down from the tree. I waited, and when I thought it was a good time to go, I climbed down. As I was able to set foot on the soil again, I felt an instant sense of pain in my head. I could not even react to this pain as I fell to the ground. My eyes went dark for a second, and I received another blow on my face. I could hear the breaking sound of my nose. The pain I felt from the second strike was enough for me to gain back my consciousness. When I opened my eyes expecting to see Frank's face, I saw Olivia's face. She was undoubtedly sad. Her eyes filled with tears, and she hit me once again with the giant stone she was holding. I could not feel my face except for the burning in my left eye. As she was about to hit me again, I heard shouting. It was our parents. I guess that they heard Noah's screams, and that was how they were able to find us. As Olivia heard the shouting, she dropped the stone and started to cry. Frank came next to her and whispered, "What are you doing? Finish her before they find us. Don't you want our Savior to have us by his side?" Olivia continued to cry, stating that she did not want to do it anymore. With fury, Frank took the stone and started to hit me with it. After two more hits, I fell unconscious. When I opened my eyes, I was in a hospital. My parents were there and talking with a doctor. The doctor said that the surgery was a success. Discovering that I was awake, my father hugged me and started to cry. My mother looked at me with a huge smile, and she started to cry as well. Still stupefied by the incident, I asked them what had happened. Olivia and Frank were affected by the horror stories they saw on the internet. They were planning to kill Noah and me. They wished to sacrifice us for a creature they worship. As I understood what my parents told me, after seeing Frank hit me, Olivia started to fight him and thus save my life. Even though she was helping Frank execute his plan to sacrifice us, at the very end, she decided to go against their plan and protect me. Unfortunately, Noah was not able to make it. Yesterday, I heard that Frank and Olivia were going to prison, as the court decided to punish them, not as children, but as adults. Considering that they planned and murdered a child and assaulted another in an attempt to kill me, I hope to God that Frank spends his entire life in prison.
Hello everyone, my name is Nick. I'm 21 years old. I'm going to tell you about an actual horror incident that happened to me when I was just 9. I have a younger brother named Michele, and he was only 8 years old at the time. We both loved playing hide and seek and always used to choose this game, though my father Maverick got a new job in another city. That's why we had to leave the old town to stay there. We were totally new in that area, didn't even know anybody there. We lived in a rented house there for a few months, but after a while, our father got promoted and our dad bought a new home. I was delighted. That house was very lovely and new. The recent renovation of that house was done by the previous owner, Mr. Ashton. Now this is your house, mister. You're lucky. Yes, I am. Where is your family, Mr. Ashton? As soon as my father asked him about his family, he became a little upset and took a deep breath. He said his wife had died 3 years back, and he had sent his son, who was only 10 years old, to his aunt's house. He also mentioned that one day he was going to leave the city with his son. Well, sad stories aside, we were all pleased that day. My father had taken office leave, and my mother had cooked my favorite cream pie for us. We enjoyed it a lot. We were all very much lost in a happy moment. So the next day, my brother and I were playing hide and seek while my mom was cooking food for us. Okay, Nick, you hide. I'll count to 10, okay? 1, 2. While my brother was counting the numbers, I started looking for hiding places all over the house. I didn't see anything good, but suddenly I saw a cupboard in a storeroom which was very old and placed against the wall. I thought it was an excellent plan to hide in there. I sat inside, looking out from the keyhole within. Then my brother reached the storeroom, but he was acting as if he couldn't see the cupboard. After a while, I came out of it. I asked my brother why he was acting like he hadn't seen me, and he replied saying he hadn't even noticed the cupboard. At first, I thought maybe he was joking with me, but I was going to know the absolute truth later. He still claimed that he didn't see the cupboard, so I took him to the storeroom to show it to him, but I noticed suddenly that the closet wasn't there. Both of us started looking for it. Later, it was found that it was kept in the garage. We told our mom everything. She was swamped at the time, and she thought maybe we were both just pranking her. Our father used to come home very late from work, and that's why there was minimal talk between them about it. For 2 to 3 days, I was having strange nightmares. I saw that my mom and dad were trying hard to save me because I was sinking inside a vast red volcano. I was yelling and crying in terror. It creeped me out. Sometimes, in the middle of the night, I would wake up and start crying. Seeing my condition, my mother was distraught, and she started making me sleep with her. After 3 days, while I was sleeping with my mom, suddenly, I saw the cupboard again near the door. I was numb though, and I wasn't able to say anything. I struggled to speak. I felt as if my body was paralyzed. At the time, I could feel the coolness in my surroundings and felt as if somebody was sitting inside the cupboard and taking deep breaths and whispering something in another language. I fell from the bed hard trying to wake my mom from her sleep. She said, "Oh my God, Nick, are you okay?" We both loved watching horror movies, and my mom felt that maybe all those movies were affecting me, so she threw out our movies the next day. My brother eventually asked to play hide and seek again. I told him not to hide inside the cupboard, but he went and hid in it. I knew he was hidden inside, and I could hear his breathing from the outside. As soon as I opened the cupboard door, I started to feel faint and fell. After a while, I regained consciousness, and I saw my mother and Mikale near me. "Mom, he strangled me! He's gonna kill me, Mom! Save me!" I was shocked. I didn't remember doing anything like that. Me and Mom thought that maybe he was accusing me falsely, so at first, we just didn't pay much attention to his words. Mikale got angry because he thought that the root of all these troubles was that same cupboard. He hit the door of it with a hammer and broke a part off. That night, I got possessed again. Let's play hide and seek. After saying this, I closed the door of my mom and dad's room from the outside, so Mikale was not able to go in. He was forced to play hide and seek unwillingly out of fear, so he ran and hid somewhere. I started to look for him. It was nighttime, the crickets were chirping, and the wind was breezing heavily. Suddenly, a strange power came into me that day. Wherever he hid, I would catch him in 2 seconds. While running, he reached the staircase and I pushed him hard. His left leg got hurt badly. He fell from the stairs of the second story. I still regret my brother having to make such a big sacrifice because of me, and now he can't walk properly because of it. While I was doing this, my parents saw me. They couldn't believe that some spirit possessed me. Our father called a priest into the house, and he told us that there was a child's soul in our home, and that child's soul was in the place because the cupboard we were talking about was not an ordinary cupboard. It was made out of his coffin's wood. Immediately after knowing the truth, my parents burnt the cupboard. A few months passed. One day, a cop arrived at our house, and they told us the truth about Mr. Ashton, the first owner of the house. He told us that he had been arrested with the charge of murder of his wife. He had four sons, out of which the name of the youngest boy was Jason, and he loved playing hide-and-seek games. Ashton and his wife loved their younger son very much, but he died due to being very ill, and his mother wanted to get him back. For that, his wife had resorted to black magic. A man told her that if she wanted to get her son back, she would have to make something out of his coffin's wood and keep it in the house forever. Not only that, but he asked her to do witchcraft on the cupboard as well. That's why she ended up making it in his memory. Eventually, Ashton grew so tired of all his wife's antics that he threw her from the roof. And just like that, the policeman left. And since then, even today, both of us are still very much afraid to play games like hide and seek.
I was 8 years old when this happened to me, and this incident has never left my mind since. I was staying over at a friend's house one summer afternoon, just watching TV on the couch. My friend, who I'll call Charlie, then came into the room asking to play a game of hide and seek. Since that was my favorite game to play, I was more than happy to oblige. Charlie's parents were out at the time, so we had the whole house to ourselves, meaning more places to hide. As Charlie started counting, I quickly ran upstairs and headed for the small attic door, which had a cord dangling from it. I jumped up and grabbed the cord, bringing down the rectangular door. Instead of a retractable ladder like most attics have, Charlie's attic door just had a few horizontal handlebars on it for me to climb up, and that's exactly what I did. I may call it an attic, but really it was more of a crawl space. There was barely any room for a small child to fit in comfortably, so I had to wiggle on my belly like a caterpillar to get in. Once I was all the way inside, I had to use my foot to close the door behind me because I couldn't even turn around to use my hands. I rolled onto my back and waited in that dark, cramped space for what felt like 15 minutes, just listening to all the sounds below me. As I waited, I suddenly heard the shattering of glass from downstairs. "Charlie, what was that?" I called out without thinking. There was no answer. My first thought was that Charlie had made that crash sound on purpose so I could call out his name and reveal my location. And if that was the case, then it clearly worked because I could hear rapid footsteps approaching the attic door soon after. "That little cheater," I thought. I couldn't believe my friend would actually break something in his own home and risk being grounded for life by his parents just to win a game. I obviously didn't want to lose in such an unfair manner, so I shouted back that I wanted a rematch. The attic door was then pulled down, letting the light from the hallway shine in, and a head popped in to see me. Since I was pretty much stuck in a prone position, all I could do was tilt my head up and look down at the open door by my feet. I expected to see Charlie's face looking back at me, but as my eyes adjusted to the light, I realized that it wasn't Charlie. What I saw was a grown man who I'd never met before, looking at me with the most piercing glare I'd ever seen. I was in complete shock. Everything instantly clicked. That crash I heard was this guy breaking into the house, and I led him straight to me by calling out Charlie's name. The man had a gruff exterior, with bloodshot eyes, long dark hair, and a scraggly beard. He also looked and smelled like he hadn't bathed in months, so he was quite possibly homeless. But the most horrific detail was that his beard and lips were both caked in what looked like dried blood. I was so terrified that I just laid there, completely frozen, eyes wide as saucers as I stared at his horrific face. The man seemed just as surprised to see me, a little girl in pajamas laying flat on her back in a confined space, visibly shaking in fear. My mouth hung open, but no words came out. My bare feet were mere inches away from the man's face, so I could practically feel his disgusting breath brushing against them. I had never been so scared in my life. After a long, awkward silence, the man finally smiled at me. But it wasn't a friendly smile. It was a sick, malicious sort of smile, as if he were happy he found a new plaything. His teeth were yellow and stained red with blood, almost as if he'd eaten something recently that was alive. Before I could do anything else, the man lunged his head forward with his mouth open wide like he wanted to eat me. I screamed at the top of my lungs as I hastily scrambled backwards, pulling my feet away just as his teeth snapped shut. The sicko actually tried to bite me. He missed by a few centimeters, but he quickly tried biting me again and again. He looked like a man, but he was acting like an animal that hadn't eaten in days and was now looking at a juicy prey. I tried scooting backwards more, but there wasn't any room to move. Thankfully, the man couldn't climb in and get me as the attic doorway was too small for him and there were no retractable ladder, but my legs and feet were still easy targets to grab, or in this case, bite. The man opened his disgusting mouth once again to bite me, but I kept my legs far away from him. I was in tears as I watched this guy actively trying to eat me while I was still alive. I was scared out of my mind. Believe me when I say there was nowhere I could go. The only way out was through the door I used to get in, which was now blocked by this strange man. And it was so cramped inside the crawl space that I couldn't even sit up. All I could do was tilt my head up and kick my legs forward. But I was too afraid to kick this psycho. At best, I'd knock out a few of his teeth, pissing him off even more. And at worst, I'd be giving him a chance to grab my ankles and drag me out of the crawl space. There was nothing around me to use as a weapon either, so I was pretty much helpless. After a few minutes of screaming bloody murder and desperately flailing my legs around to avoid being bitten, I could hear police sirens outside, followed by footsteps coming up the stairs. The man was then tackled to the ground by three officers. A fourth officer helped me get out of the attic and brought me safely outside where my friend Charlie was waiting for me. He was completely unharmed, so the blood I saw on the man's beard must have come from some small animal he fed on outside. Apparently, Charlie heard the breaking glass and saw the man climbing in through a window, so he hid behind the couch. Then, when the man headed for the attic, he called the cops right away. If Charlie hadn't been with me that day, I probably wouldn't be here to tell this story. I'm just glad that crazy homeless guy was put away for a long time. But I'll never forget the feeling of complete helplessness as I lay inside that crawl space with an actual cannibal trying to devour me. For an 8-year-old girl, that was the stuff of nightmares, and I still have trouble being in confined spaces to this day.